the list of names, and that's unacceptable. And I want to make sure it's past unacceptable to me. So as LaVar knows, when people ask about any name, I'm not going to look at what they're trying to get. If the name is on the list, I'll tell them. If the name is not on the list, I'll tell them. We finally got a list posted, but it was, I will tell you, quite a struggle. And to me, this is unconscionable. The last list to be posted of all the stations was, as far as I know, at KPFA. The fact that, and people need time, and people should be notified so that they can challenge the list. And both ways. I mean, if there's people that are on it who shouldn't be, or people who are not on it who should be, the staff has to know that. But I really am surprised. I'm not talking about contact information. I'm surprised that there is not a solid list of names of people who are staff. That staff should know that. Management should know that.
Mm-hmm.
And at KPFA, by the way, that has been a problem. That's the one station that has actually refused to release a list of names, and finally we got that release.
This is LaVarne. May I speak?
Yes, LaVarne.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess.
And I'm taking. And the reason I'm going to, I want to make sure that I'm on solid footing. I don't think that's legal. I think every station has to have an open staff. Certainly, every LSB member has the right to go into a station as a delegate and say, "I want to know the names of the people on the staff." It seems to me every staff member has that right, as well as management, across the board. And I'm checking on that, and we will get a ruling on that.
Okay, thank you. LaVarne?
Les, thank you very much for this is the opportunity to present this and try to do something about it. You know, we've known about this. You know, all of us question this. You know, I work in corporate America, and this is just it's ludicrous. It really is that you're going to have a business, but you're not allowed to know who works in there. So, you know, just that alone. But, you know, I continue to do the work. We have to continue to ask the questions. We cannot be, there cannot be a thought police here in terms of telling us what we can talk about related to this and questioning this. That's not the way you address this issue. And by finally bringing this out in this arena, we're able to at least talk about it and address it. So, and just a little history. I think we had two GMs ago that what the person was asking for. I believe it was Newport, and it was never to him. So, as you see, this has been long developing, and that it's just in terms of how you operate within a legal framework in terms of, you know, protecting the security of everyone at the workplace. These are just basic issues, but has been spun into some type of political issue. But yeah, we have to just keep working ahead on this and get the information so that we can protect the foundation itself. Thanks.
Okay, anyone else on the stack?
Is there a new member on the call?
What item on the point of information?
We are still on Les Radke's report.
Okay, I do have some questions.
All right, and I have one too. Serene, why don't you go ahead?
What's the name of the attorney?
Dan Siegel.
Okay.
I have a.
You know what? I'm sorry, I'm not sure. I didn't catch all of your report. And if this information has or is in fact on some, you know, one of the files or something on the committee's list, or you can just direct me to that. But I'd like to know what where we are in terms of actual costs that we've monies that we've expended so far in the elections, in the election process, and what other expenses are to come. You know, those obviously that you can predict. I also have a question about the elections committees, but you know, if you want to deal with that one first.
Sure. First of all, if you want, let's see. I guess I could send that to the PAC list. I mean, to me, this is public information. I've already presented the budget to the powers that be. It's approximately $96,000 for all the mailing, that's a first-class mailing for designing the ballot, for designing the candidate statements and sending them out. It's approximately $45,000 for the salaries for the election supervisors at each station, and somewhere around $20,000, which would be a one-time expense that I put in for five scanning machines plus their software. So it totals up to a little less than $200,000. I can't get it much less than that because the first class mailing really takes a bite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
If you could post that to the PAC list, that would be great.
I will do that. Yeah.
That has
I mean, it's on my
food,
system,
right?
And I just can pop it over.
Okay. And
I made a note of that.
Thanks. That hasn't been approved yet, right?
Yep.
It has been approved?
Yep.
Okay, great. So it's going to be in everybody's budget this year. Okay. I had a question about... trying to read my own notes. The whole issue of people who are members of the local elections committee, the local election supervisors committee, because a lot of people have created lists and so forth, calling themselves election committees, which of course doesn't make them one. But we're talking here about people who are identified by the local election supervisors to work on this election.
Yes.
Right. I certainly understand the concept of someone who is running, not being, you know, closely involved in this process. I guess you run it by an attorney having them sign that they can't run because the bylaws don't place any such restriction.
No, they
so
don't.
They would be signing this voluntary agreement, but it's binding.
It's a voluntary agreement, but it's binding. But you're right. I should run this by an attorney. I want to make sure that this is legal. The last thing we want, I mean, there's a couple parts to it, but certainly if somebody is on the committee and they then decide to run, what we are saying before they get on the committee is we'll talk to them, and if they are ambiguous about it, what we're trying to do is to say, why don't we sit down and talk about you running, talk about what the committee is, go to an LSB meeting, whatever, before you get on the committee. It's not like somebody's going to pop up on this committee and at the end of the meeting saying, you're now disqualified. It's before they get on the committee, what we're trying to do is to make sure that people understand what this means and then have them sign this agreement. Because if, I'll stop there.
Okay. I think you're right.
I think I will pop.
Yeah.
I'll pop that by as well. I want to make sure it's legal.
Yeah, we're paying Siegel anyway. We may as well just throw this in. Just have him talk really fast because I think he bills by the hour, right?
Yeah. I know.
Okay. My other question is with regard to when someone is considered a candidate, because I know that in the first round of elections here in New York, for example, someone was literally on the air the day before the deadline.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I think last round, Kenny Mosterin might have said that effective 7/25, those rules kick in. If you're going to be a candidate, you should not be on the air. And while some of the other stations, I know now you have to, you know, sign up in order to get access to download, that wasn't always the case. I was able to access other, you know, access the application on stations' websites earlier.
Right.
So I just think we need to have some clarity because I some of the same people who were on the air, literally, as I said, and these are not staff people who would normally be on the air, these were people who then ran as listener candidates on a slate. They were on the air, literally. It might have been the very night before the deadline. And
yeah.
It might have been after midnight, so technically, but anyway. You know, so I really think there needs to maybe be a reconsideration of that or some clarification of that. Otherwise, it'll come back to bite us in terms of equal time.
What I've been trying to do, I prefer July 25th that people are going to be, that the minute that they're on the air, I mean, this happened already at KPFA, they've been at least given warnings. And we're told that if this happens again, that they will, in fact, be penalized, much more so than a warning. And I've told all the local election supervisors that. We're trying to monitor this, and I'm trying to figure out a better way of making sure that folks understand that at this point we're in a campaign period, and if they're on the air as a listener member who's going to run, that they're in violation of the Fair Campaign's pledge. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I saw somewhere, and I don't remember which package I might have seen this on, but there was some language that says that on the 25th of September, or after the 26th of September, the list of people who are candidates will then be presented to staff, and they will be reminded that they're not supposed to have these listener candidates
right.
On the air. And I really think that, you know, as someone who, I'm not in that category, I'm not a listener, and I'm not running, but as someone who talks to people, and who knows that you know, some people feel that they were seriously disadvantaged in previous elections because, you know, their friends didn't have them on the air throughout the entire month of August and September, which certainly happened in New York, you know, by another slate in a very big way. I don't think I want to wait until, you know, let's...
No, I said July 25th.
No, I think that said on September 25th, because you don't have the list of names to provide people with.
I know that. What I'm trying to do is we are going around and talking. I have to think more about this, but we've really been trying to institute the Fair Campaign pledge at this point. That's what I'm trying to say, and I need to find an effective way of doing it. Because if people are on, I mean, that, you know, we'll give a warning at least. I mean, I understand, you know. But I want people to understand that if they're on the air at this point and they're not on the air on a special, it's one thing if they just came back, for example, from southern Lebanon. That's reasonable, and they're talking about that. But at this point, they cannot talk about themselves thinking of running or what their relation to the board is. I consider the Fair Campaign pledge to be on target right now. It's one of the reasons why we put up that form that people have to fill out before they can download. And for people who are getting the papers, they have to go to the local election supervisor. And I want to have an effective way of at least giving the warning to people and having a way to do that. I'll put that up on all the websites, as a matter of fact, so that we, you know, that people can complain about it. But it's unfair at this point for people to be on the air if they're going to be running.
Well, okay, I understand. And so in the interest of time, I'll take it up with you.
You certainly can, and please do, all of you. I mean, I will try answering your email and getting back to you. I mean, this is...
Thank you, Leslie. I'm sure you'll get questions, and we'll post them on the
public. My problem is I have a meeting coming up, and I have to go. I really do. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I had one more quick question, if you have 2 minutes. And that is, you mentioned public meetings. We haven't had any. Is there sort of a schedule in all 5 stations of public meetings?
No, there's not.
Okay. Thank you.
There's not.
All right, that was really my question. Thank you so much for all the time answering all these questions.
And Atiana will be working on that. She's explaining to for the New York. She really wanted to get to know folks as much as possible there because the last thing I want is to have somebody go into a station like what happened at Washington, New York, et cetera, and then quit halfway through. And I will tell you, she actually likes all the people in New York.
Good.
Okay. Wonderful. I have to go. Bye.
Thank you
Bye.
So much. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Good night.
All right. I would like to move the agenda here. I think we're past time for our special order, which is 9:30. If we could, hearing no objections, I hope.
I have a quick question, Caroline.
Yes. Point of
Did you actually discuss? I'm sorry?
Point of information, I hope. I would like to move the agenda. Are you objecting to doing that?
That's what a question is. It's a point of information. Since this particular item that's coming up actually deals with work that we're asking the National Election Supervisor to do, and he's no longer on the call, I guess I want to know whether it was discussed with him beforehand in any way.
No, not by me.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Are there no objections to doing that? We can move to the first motion. for benefit of our listeners, I will read it. Unless, is Mary Berg on the list yet? Mary? No, on the call? All right, then I'll read the motion. The title is Auditing, Vetting, and Accuracy of Voter Lists. Whereas on July 16, 2006, the PNB Elections Committee passed the following resolution, resolved that the local and national election supervisors shall have access to the current and past membership rosters retained by general managers so that they may independently judge whether or not elections based on such membership rosters may be certified. And whereas August 1, 2006 was the target date for public posting of staff lists in each station for the purpose of allowing staff members to query any item, and whereas not all stations have such lists posted for this purpose, and whereas September 1, 2006 is the deadline for the closing of the membership lists, including both staff and listener volunteer members for purposes of issuing ballots for this year's elections, and whereas the local election supervisors require another type of only access to rosters, but sufficient data about staff members and their work and about volunteer members and their work collected by management in order to audit these lists and validate the membership rolls. Therefore, the PNB Elections Committee urgently recommends that the general managers, program directors, department heads, and other responsible staff members expedite the validation of staff data, volunteer data, and work histories for the purpose of creating auditable lists for the use of the local election supervisor. And further, that beginning August 25th, 2006, the PNB Elections Committee respectfully requests that the National Election Supervisor update the Elections Committee weekly as to any difficulties encountered in collecting this data and in carrying out his responsibilities as described in the bylaws. That is the motion.
Point of information, what was the first typo?
The first typo was four in the first whereas, after the word station in the second line, should be for the purpose instead of or the purpose. The letter F is missing.
I don't see that in the first line.
I'm sorry, the second whereas. I apologize, the second whereas.
Or, okay, I got it.
After the word station.
I got it.
All right, I guess we're open for discussion on this motion.
This is Jane. I'd like to get on the stack.
Jane?
First of all, I apologize to the committee. I'm going to leave after I just make a comment on this. I would like to speak in opposition to this because the ramifications, basically all of this information, based on my understanding of our the director's report, he's pushing every way he can, and I think that our adopting a motion of this nature at this time would just be adding more paper. If there was failure to act as we've asked, then there's no ramifications. So I would speak against it for those reasons.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. If there were failure to act?
If the staff did not act as this motion requests, there's no ramifications. Our committee has even less power than the local, than our national election supervisor. And I feel that there's too many motions that nothing happens, that don't get acted upon, and I'm afraid that this would just fall into that same category. I think that his report described everything that he is doing, working with our ED to make these very things happen.
Well, your point is well taken. This was crafted before I had heard any report at all of any progress whatsoever. And and I did not have a chance to ask, but one of the points in here might need correcting, and that is that not all stations have such lists posted. When I checked, in fact, WBAI did not have any list posted last week, and perhaps since then something has been posted, but I haven't seen it. All right, anyone else on the staff?
Just briefly, when you enter the station, it's to your left. When you exit the station, it's to your right. And it was there all last week, at least since all last week.
Very good. Thank you.
Terry?
Mm-hmm.
First, unless you know of another station where the list is not posted, I would move for that, whereas not all stations have such list posted, line to be removed.
Yes, good, I will second that.
Is there any objection?
Well, Les did say, didn't he, that all stations had a list posted? He said that there was some, he wasn't maybe happy with all the lists, but that they were posted. I thought.
Yes, there's no objection to removing that, right? Am I correct? Serena, are you objecting to removing that line from this motion?
I was asking whether the member's recollection of what was said by the national supervisor was the same as mine, since it doesn't seem that everyone's understanding him clearly.
Is there anyone who did not understand the supervisor to say that? Thank you. All right, so no, without objection, then, that will be removed.
I'd like to be on the second session.
Terry?
And Serena also in the second.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Terry.
Okay. I think I'm speaking in support of the motion because the NES has said that he doesn't have full compliance at all stations, only at two. With respect to the members, earlier speakers' suggestion that the committee has nothing we could do for compliance, I don't think that's true. All of the motions from this committee are in the form of recommendations to the PMB, but we can broadly recommend drastic measures if we find out specific information about compliance, and that could include recommending the dismissal of a general manager or the removal of the membership of a member if we discover that they are impeding the elections. So, in any case, just be a recommendation. But it is a recommendation for action by the PMB, which has authority to do very many things.
All right. Serene?
Yeah, can I just ask clarification, Terry, around your last statement that you might recommend the dismissal of a GM or what?
It is within the authority of the organization also to withdraw the membership of a member. That is an appealable action. But we could kick out a member of Pacifica.
Terry did not say, Serene,
what
you said that
I'm sorry,
he did.
I speak with...
I'm just clarifying your misunderstanding. He did not say the dismissal of a member.
Mm-hmm. What did you say, Terry, if you could speak for yourself?
Yes, the elections committee could recommend that the PMB dismiss a member from Pacifica.
Okay.
If we had evidence supporting such a recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what did you say with regard to a general manager?
It's within the purview of any committee to recommend that an employee be dismissed.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. That's what Carolyn just told me you didn't say, so I wanted to be clear.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually think, am I next on the stack? I did ask to be on the stack. Am I next?
Yes, there's no one else on the stack. Go ahead.
I actually think that this should have been discussed while Les is on the line. I know that he is going to be meeting with his team. I think, did he say tomorrow, or was that the lawyers' meeting that he was referring to? But I know that he meets with them, on a fairly regular basis, only because it's the beginning of the process and contact is really needed to get it up and running. And before we task him with converting whatever the local reports are into a written report that he then sends to the committee on a weekly basis, which I think is going to take, a considerable amount of his time, I think it should be, and I know it's only a request that he's free to ignore, but we also know that the point of making it a motion is because you don't want it to be ignored. I just think it's, as Jane said, rather onerous a burden to place on someone. So I think it should at least have been discussed while he was on the call. That's it.
All right. Any other comments on this? Or?
I'm just Mary Bird making an announcement that I'm on the call.
Good, thank you.
I didn't get a ride, but here I am.
Well, glad you made it. I'm sorry, but someone is either driving or doing something very, very noisy. Could someone mute their phone? The noise is, from the background is quite loud. Thank you. Mary, we're on the special order, the first motion. Did you have a chance to hear?
Did I have a chance to what, please?
I'm sorry, there's still a great deal of background noise for whoever has... It sounds like someone's driving.
I tried muting, but it didn't seem to change it, but I can try it again here, mute my phone.
No, that's not it, then.
So, Carolyn, could you repeat what you just said?
We had a long report discussion with Les. Did you have a chance to hear any of that?
No. I didn't have any radio with me. I was in transit.
Mm-hmm. Is someone driving?
Did it start when I got on?
No. I know it's been on. Mm-mm. Is somebody driving or taking a bath? I don't know which.
I think it's driving.
Sounds it.
Where are we, please, on the agenda?
We're on the special order, the first motion. The third, whereas, has been stricken, whereas not all stations have such lists posted. I was informed that all stations do.
Yeah, I don't think...
Is there any more discussion on this motion?
Now, can you reread the motion, please, for those of us who may not have internet access? Kind of long.
Yes, I can read it unless we have any more amendments. No more amendments. All right. The motion is the auditing, vetting, and accuracy of voter lists. Whereas on July 16, 2006, the PMB Elections Committee passed the following resolution, resolved that local and national election supervisors shall have access to the current and past membership rosters retained by general managers so that they may independently judge whether or not elections based on such membership rosters may be certified. And whereas August 1st, 2006 was the target date for public posting of staff lists in each station for the purpose of allowing staff members to query any item. And whereas September 1, 2006 is the deadline for the closing of the membership lists, including both staff and listener volunteer members for purposes of issuing ballots for this year's elections. And whereas the local election supervisors require not only access to rosters, but sufficient data about staff members and their work and about volunteer members and their work collected by management in order to audit these lists and validate the membership rolls. Therefore, the PNB Elections Committee urgently recommends that the general manager, program directors, department heads, and other responsible staff members expedite the validation of staff data, volunteer data, and work histories for the purpose of creating auditable lists for the use of the local election supervisors, and further, that beginning August 25, 2006, the PNB Elections Committee respectfully requests that the National Election Supervisor update the Elections Committee weekly as to any difficulties encountered in collecting this data and in carrying out his responsibilities as described in the bylaws. Now, just to back up Mary and anyone else who came in late, the supervisor addressed some of these issues and, in fact, is consulting an attorney about problems obtaining lists from management. And this was crafted before we knew that, but I still think it obtains simply because all the support possible this committee can give, I believe, should be given. Serene?
Yeah, actually, I just want to correct a statement I just heard. My understanding of Les's visit with the attorney was to clarify whether or not the list could only the staff lists which were turned over had to be kept confidential as opposed to publicly posted. And apparently some list was posted, but they are seeing an attorney. It's not whether or not they have a right to get the information. It was with regard to whether or not the information then had to be held in confidentiality. And I think actually in that particular area it has to do with information being given to some members of the board and not other members of the board, but at any rate. Just to clarify what you said, my question with regard to the language used of any responsible staff member, now I don't know what that means, but it seems to me that we actually have management that we pay. So any language with regard to people collecting other people's data that uses such loose terms as responsible staff people, anyone can say, oh, I'm a responsible staff person, give me your information. I don't think that's the way to go about it. I think that the language should clearly state that when you're talking about lists, you're talking about lists from the two bodies, if you will, two groups, who are entitled to collect that information for election purposes. And that would be the unpaid staff unions or the station's management, period. So to throw in anybody who, you know, falls under responsible, what does that mean exactly?
The intent of that, if I may, had to do with people who are not with those titles, but perhaps the person in charge of the database or someone else who could help expedite the validation of staff data. That's what
management can direct any of their staff to do whatever needs to be done. I just don't think you use that kind of loose language in a motion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought it quite precise, actually. Anyone
point of
else
information.
Yes.
May I ask the chair to ask the members to not interrupt you and to engage you in, you know, argument that we need to like adhere to some rules in terms of like asking to be recognized before you start speaking. Thank you.
Thank you. On the border,
that's not a point of information.
It was a question, and the point is well taken.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else want to speak on this point?
I move that language be struck. I said I think it is way too general that there are people who are tasked with doing this.
Your motion is to strike exactly which words?
Well, you'd have to read it again for me to do that. But as I think I was very clear in terms of expressing it. I said that the only language that should remain there are the management, and most stations have, I think, two or three people in those positions, or the contact with the unpaid staff organization, and each of the two organizations.
I'm sorry, Katrina, I'm going to interrupt you and ask you to be really precise about what word you want.
Okay, then I'm going to have to
where,
ask you to read it. Then read it again, because I'm not looking at a hard copy.
Well, I'm sorry, but this is really dilatory and taking up a great deal of time.
Carolyn,
objected to the one word, responsible. Is that the word you want to struck?
No, I said there's loose language about other responsible people. I don't know what that means.
Other responsible staff members, do you want those four words struck?
Why are you interrupting me? That's rude.
I'm trying to get clarification on what you mean.
And I'm trying to offer it, but it requires that you listen. The only language I feel should be retained in that portion of the motion is language that says the management or the stewards of the unpaid staff organization, period. Now, whatever that means, you need to remove, since I'm not looking at a hard copy of this motion that you posted when, this afternoon or something. You know, most chairs send the agenda and the stuff out a week ahead of time.
Your comments are out of order, and
well, then don't be so impatient if I ask you to.
Excuse me, the member is out of order. Please keep to the point. I'm sorry, you don't have a copy in front of you. But if you're,
I'm sorry, you sent it out late. Otherwise, I could.
Excuse me. The member is out of order, and I'm going to ask you to stop.
Of point of information, I think, Madam Chair, I am seeing the language. The PB Election Committee, PMP, urgently recommends that the general managers, program directors, department heads, and other responsible staff members. Is this what Serene is wanting to have struck, and other responsible staff members?
It goes on to say expedite
the validation of staff data and so forth and so on.
Okay.
Is that the part you're talking about?
Carrie can help.
Both. It is both
Oh, Terry can help.
So, that was really a yes or no question.
I'm sorry.
Terry, please go ahead.
Don't tell me what kind of question it was. Carolyn, why are you being so rude? She asked me a question. Allow me to answer it. You don't have to disagree. You don't have to agree with me in order to chair the meeting as though you're trying to be fair.
Excuse me, Serene.
Excuse
me, Serene. You're out of order again. Mary Berg asked you a very specific question. Are those the words you're objecting to? But the answer is
and
no.
And I was attempting to answer it when you interrupted me three times. Now, may I finish?
Point of
I'm sorry. I'm recognizing the next person on the line, Terry. Yes, Lavarne.
Point of order.
As I indicated, the member is being disruptive to the meeting, and I would ask that we censor her or ask her again to treat the chair with respect.
The member
point
is out
order.
Of order, and I expect that she will respect the order of the meeting. The next person up is Terry.
I had the floor.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
You are out of order. I'm ruling you out of order.
Since you refused,
I am ruling you out of order. I am asking.
Of course you would, Carolyn, because you must win. It has nothing to do with being fair. It has to do with winning. Go ahead.
I'm going to ask the body what they would like to do about these interruptions.
Madam Chair, I would like to censor the member, please. This is Sunday afternoon. This is useless time with this, and I would ask that we censor this member for the constant disrupting, constant disrespect of the chair.
And this is really going to cause our meetings to go. This meeting to go way too long. That's my thought.
All she needed to do was allow me. You know, it's
excuse
amazing.
The member is out of order.
Watch
the member.
And
I'm asking
for
comments. Melinda has spoken. Terry, I believe.
I have a
were
comment.
You on this stack?
Yeah. First, a point of order.
Mm-hmm.
I believe before a censure would be in order, the member should be named three times in the record of the meeting. It is within the purview of the chair to name the member when calling them to order so that it is recorded in the record of the meeting. Now, with regard to solving the argument, I believe I have language which is consistent with the amendment that Serena is trying to make, although I will point out that it may not be consistent with the paragraph as a whole. The paragraph as a whole specifies responsible staff members with the implication that it is those whose job is to expedite the validation of staff data, volunteer data, and work history. However, complying with the member's suggestion, replacing department heads and other responsible staff members with the words that the member suggests, the substitute language would be the PMB election committee urgently recommends that management and the stewards of unpaid staff organizations expedite the validation of staff data, volunteer data, and work histories for the purpose of creating auditable lists for the use of the local election supervisors and further.
Point of information again, Mary Berg.
Yes, ma'am.
Is this offered as substitute language to what the motion says?
To the one paragraph, Terry, is that your intent?
Yeah. Instead of saying general managers, program directors, department heads, are you making a substitute motion that says management
I'm
and
I'm offering
union?
This language as Serene's substitute motion for that paragraph.
Management and...
recommends that management and the stewards of unpaid staff organizations.
Okay. All right, any comments on this?
Then it would continue,
mm-hmm.
expedite the validation of staff data.
Right. All right, point of parliamentary procedure. I'm going to interrupt the process here and take Terry's point. It is well taken. And I would ask... Terry, if you're still functioning as secretary, or Mary, to record that I asked to have Serene Roberts return to order several times, and she did not do that. I would like the record to show that.
Inquiry.
Yes.
I'm actually asking this question to Terry, who I think actually knows Roberts' rules of orders of order. The chair is then allowed to retroactively decide that she wants to silence me. Is that correct?
I would say that it would count as one entry of the required three in progressive discipline.
Let me ask.
Excuse me. There was a question,
I
would like to keep on
parliamentary
topic
inquiry.
Here.
I'm entitled to a point of parliamentary inquiry.
All right. If you would address the chair with that, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
I don't know that a point of parliamentary inquiry, and this is a point of parliamentary inquiry, must the request for information be made to the chair, even if another member is better able to answer the question?
No, yes. I'm certainly directed to anyone who is
okay,
better able than I am.
Okay, then I'm addressing Terry, who clearly is.
But motions generally are made in general without addressing other members.
It's not a motion. It's a parliamentary inquiry to someone who is very familiar with
the member should address the chair.
The question is, when in fact a member has been given the floor and asks for specific information, does not have the precise language because she's not reading the text, and we know why, but apparently I'm not allowed to say why, and another member asks a question, is it appropriate for the member who had the floor and was interrupted for the question to then respond to the question to move the process along?
Yes, it is.
Another question. When, in fact, is it appropriate for the chair to snatch back the floor from the member to whom the floor was given and give it to someone else before the member has finished speaking?
I'm going to object to the member's use of language which is consistently, I have to say, insulting. And I'm going to ask Serene
Roberts.
Would
you prefer the word take?
I'm going to ask that Serene Roberts be censured for, this is not the first use
my point of
this kind of language. And I would like the record to show that I'm objecting to her language of language which is inflammatory. Your question is, I think, dilatory. And I think if you would address the language that another member has graciously offered to supply because you said you were unable to do that, then perhaps we could move ahead.
Is Terry's language acceptable to you?
I was
in the point of offering the same language myself because Mary was kind enough to reread the language that you'd refused to read so that I could see, in fact, which portions I objected to. My objection was to this committee giving recommendations or direction, you know, whatever, however it's phrased, to staff. You're not allowed to do that. You are not allowed to direct program department heads. General managers do. That's why we have management. So, in fact, you were about to do something in the motion that is by law illegal. And that was my attempt to have that stopped. But apparently...
Would the member like to offer specific language? If not, we'll look at Terry's motion and vote
Ellen,
on that.
I was offering language when you over-talked me.
Would the member like to do that now, please? Thank you.
The member would like everything with regard to this conversation to go on record. With regard to the entire exchange, the number of times that you interrupted me, that people jumped in to support you interrupting me.
Point of order. Don White here.
Yes, Don.
You know, this is not just an abuse of the chair. This is an abuse of the time of all members. So I'm not going to ask for censor. I'm not going to ask for reprimand. I'm just going to ask the member, please, do not abuse the entire committee in this way. Please be very specific about what you want so that we can move ahead. I feel that there has been an abuse of the committee here.
And I feel that I've been abused. But, you know, if you can make a personal statement to you, I can make a personal statement to you. And that is that I merely ask that I be afforded the same treatment as everyone on this call. No one else has been interrupted and had the floor taken back, since snatched back is an offensive term. That's how it felt on my end. Okay, because I was given the floor and I was speaking. No one else has had the floor taken back and then given to a friend who then says, oh, please censure her. You know, this is ridiculous. Listen to the conduct of this meeting. Go back and listen to this entire section of the tape. This is ridiculous.
I'm not asking for special treatment. I'm going to ask the member to remember that we do have some business. It is late, and you've been asked repeatedly to supply specific language. If you have nothing to supply, we will go with Terry's language, which seems to me to express what you had said you had meant, and we can vote on that amendment. Do you have other language?
You silenced me five minutes before he offered it.
You're dilatory and out of order. Do you have language or not?
Carolyn, of course that is your view.
Terry, would you like to read your motion again, and we'll move ahead on that? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you.
Terry interprets the prior member as moving that the words the general manager, program directors, department heads, and other responsible staff members be stricken, that the words management and the stewards of unpaid staff organizations be inserted in their place, so that this paragraph of the main motion would then read, the PMB election committee urgently recommends that the management and the stewards of unpaid staff organizations expedite the validation of staff data, volunteer data, and work histories for the purpose of creating auditable lists for the use of the local election supervisors, and further.
Okay, so that strikes general managers, program directors, department heads, and other responsible staff members, and substitutes the language you just read. Is everyone clear on what the amendment is?
Yes.
Is there any more discussion on that?
Mary Berg here.
Yes, ma'am.
I realize I'm stepping into some controversial situation that I have not had the chance to be hearing. It seems to be a full-blown battle of some kind, but I'm sorry that I can't support this language because we don't at our station have what BAI has. We don't have stewards, unpaid staff stewards. We have, and on the other hand, we do have paid staff union stewards. And I would have to support the original language because I don't find an objection to the responsible staff. I take Serene's point. But if these people, the management, this is management, general managers, program directors, department heads, if they delegate this to, say, the person who manages MEMSIS or whoever, or a bookkeeping person, responsible staff members, or the people who to whom this may be delegated, they don't personally have to do this work themselves. It's the people who gather the data. I don't find this objectionable, and I suppose that's the difference between maybe the organization of our station and the organization of the member station. But that's I have to say that.
Point of information.
I have a point of information at point of order.
Yes, point of information, Mary. Does what do you call what we call stewards?
We have an unpaid staff organization. It's the opposite of New York's, as far
mm-hmm.
as I can gather, in that mm-hmm. you can't be a member unless you really go and join, where I gather, and people from BAI can correct me, that anyone who qualifies as unpaid staff is automatically a member of the organization. This makes a huge difference. We can run the risk of excluding a whole lot of people, and in fact, a whole lot of people were excluded because they chose, due to the contentiousness of the organization in this particular year, to join. They didn't want to join. People who were even members of the council, like a programmer, Kutai Darren Kwai, didn't even join the organization. We could lose half our people this way. So
mm-hmm.
there is a difference in
right.
these organizations. It's not whether you call them stewards or something else. There's also
mm-hmm.
this other difference, which to me is more significant.
All right, thank you for the clarification. Serene?
My point of order is still that the communication should be going from a committee or a board to the station's management, not to employees who are non-management. And department heads are not management. The people who do the membership database are not management. Once the manager gets the request, how the manager fulfills the request is day-to-day management and does not involve any board or any committee. Make the request of the manager. The manager's job is to make sure it gets done. Whoever the manager taps to get it done. But this committee should not be directing individual staff people. And I would use the language instead of stewards, although I did use stewards initially because that's what the term we use in New York, for youth elected representatives of the unpaid staff organizations. I mean, that's fine. It conveys the meaning clearly, regardless of what the title is in different areas.
All right. Any other comments? that.
And can I just offer something to Mary?
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead, sir.
I don't think that by using stewards, you or whatever term we agree
yeah,
on.
Yeah, terms don't matter.
You exclude those unpaid staff people because they can still register through management if they need to.
All right. Any other comments or points on this? I would like to make one comment. Mary, do you have another?
Well, yeah, maybe I think I didn't make myself terribly clear. The reason I'm supporting the original language is due to this difference, that I can say it isn't the language, whether you say stewards or whatever you say, but it's the fact that we've got people who don't choose to join the unpaid staff organization who should be qualified as unpaid staff, and they're not going to come and join because they're very disgusted with what has gone on in our organization this year. So a whole bunch of people who were in didn't join. If we went with the language that Serene says, it would work, I can see, in BAI, but it wouldn't work for us because these people would still be excluded. What we finally did to get a list, I don't know if Les explained, but the management, including all these people that are mentioned there, had to go through and find who did what and that they actually were there and make up a list, which is much larger than the unpaid staff organization list, owing to the fact that it's quite different. I mean, there's people on there who nobody knew that they did anything at the station, but there's a whole lot of people who have been on the air for years who wouldn't have voted, who would have been disenfranchised. So we have a different problem on our end. It's kind of the opposite. That's my reasoning. That's my reason for supporting the original language.
All right, I'd like to make one comment about that. The original language deliberately omitted a reference to the unpaid staff organizations just because of these various problems that even describing them raises so many side issues that the motion was simpler without them, and that is why I would like to have the original language. But I think we're ready to move for a vote on the language that Terry proposed.
But can I need to ask Mary to just clarify something that she said.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be sure I understand. So
yes,
those,
go ahead,
those people who are not part of UPSO,
mm-hmm.
how are they becoming registered? How are they?
I'm sorry, but that question really is out of order with regard to this motion. It is really not relevant to this issue.
Well,
I'm sorry. It is relevant. If there are huge
yeah.
numbers of people who should be eligible to vote who aren't registering with their unpaid staff organizations for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
This committee should be addressing because their work qualifies them.
Mm-hmm.
So how are they?
Well, what we've done, we have posted a list. Maybe Les explained that KPFA has finally posted a list. I don't know, but
excuse me. I would really like to not get into that now, if you don't mind, because I have a feeling it's going to distract us from the issue here, which is whether or not this motion is going to be.
Well, it depends on which language we go with, and.
Well, it wasn't.
See, this language works fine for what we have happening at KPFA because the list posted was done. Not with the unpaid staff organization list. It was arrived at differently, and it's going to be there to be vetted for the next almost 2 weeks.
But how it's arrived at does matter.
Excuse me. I think that the point to be taken is whether or not you are objecting to the inclusion of stewards. I hear a motion there to amend Terry's language.
That is not my question. I'd like to ask my question for myself.
I didn't object to the word steward. That's not my objection.
I would like to move ahead on
I'd
vote
like
here unless someone
a,
else
I'd
has
like
something else to say.
Yes, I have a point of information. There's something I don't understand that's going to affect my vote. I know what language I prefer, but I'm trying to understand something
mm-hmm.
about what Mary said that is important.
Mm-hmm. And what is that, please, if you can?
My question to Mary,
make it brief.
Is the list that was posted, you said it was arrived at by some other way. Since the bylaws only tell us of two ways, what's the plan, you know, without having this committee give instructions to staff, which is not allowed, what's the plan for getting everyone who's entitled to vote registered with the LES?
Madam Chair, can I respond to that?
If you would be brief, I do consider it out of order, but if you can give a brief answer and let that be the end of it, I'd like to move on to
a
vote.
It's basically the language that's in the original motion. It was this list was arrived at by the manager's program, by these people and the other responsible staff members. This includes people from the paid and unpaid staff, because there are situations with the paid staff too. They may not all be in the union. And so all these people kind of putting together their information, that's how this list was arrived at that was just posted last Thursday. I hope I'm being responsible.
Yeah. I'm supposed to cast a vote.
Is it 7:30?
Don, excuse me. Are you having another conversation?
Oh, my apologies. I'm going to have to leave the call in a moment, but I want to stay around to vote for this if I can.
Yes, thank you. I think I'd like to move to a vote if we've finished our discussion. Is anyone else who hasn't spoken have anything to add or a question?
Terry?
Mm-hmm.
I've modified the language slightly based on something the maker said.
Mm-hmm.
So that the insertion would now be the management of each station and the elected representatives of any unpaid staff organization.
I'm going to speak to that, and I would like to object to that, because the question of elections is a whole other ball of wax and raises a great many other questions and disputable questions. And I was hoping to avoid including people whose roles might in fact be not fixed in stone or questioned. Mary? Do you want to read that again slowly, Terry? The management of each station?
Well, I guess it was objected to by the chair, but I think it depends on whether the maker of the motion would want that language.
Yes, that language is fine. Thank you, Terry.
Yeah.
Management of each station.
The management. So after urgently recommends that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would say the management of each station and the elected representatives of any unpaid staff organization.
Which doesn't rule out what you're doing, Mary.
Well, what about the paid staff?
Well, paid staff don't need to be a part of a union in order to register. Their paychecks make them eligible. You have to be full-time or part-time staff. That's what the bylaws say. Full-time or part-time paid
staff.
Excuse
me, that's clarifying that, but I think the point is understood. The manager of each station and other elected representatives
of any unpaid staff organization.
Is that
correct?
All right, that is the language being proposed. Can we go to a vote on that, please? Terry, do you want to continue taking that?
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Well, this will be an opportunity to confirm my suspicion that some members have left the call.
Sure will.
So on the question of amending this paragraph of the main motion, as stated, Ted Weisgall.
Ted left. He said he had to leave.
Dan Gatewood left. Harrison Weil.
I'm staying.
Carolyn is chair. Terry Goodman, no. Melinda Eiley-Down.
I'm going to wait till everybody else votes.
That's pass. Don White.
No.
No. LaVarne Williams.
I'm still here. I know, it's surprising. No.
No. And Shakir. Mary Berg.
Let me pass for a minute. I'm coming to this a little late.
I presume Richard Phelps has not joined.